From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Do something that you love, they say. Follow your passions, they say. What does that mean? And can you make money off of it? Well, I want to introduce you to someone who has done just that and has so much insight into what it really means to do it, because it is not simple. It is actually pretty messy, and it will send you all over the place, as you're going to hear in how she introduces herself.
My name is Lauren Passell, and I'm the founder of Tink Media.
And Tink Media is...
Tink Media is, oh gosh, I guess it's now a podcast marketing and PR company, but it's been a whole lot of other things, and I know that it will be a whole lot of other things in the future.
So how did Lauren come to run a company that she literally kind of stumbles over a description of, but that also, let us be clear, has been quite successful and has transformed her career and also made her like a real player in the podcast space? It's because it is the outgrowth of her love of podcasting. She just became obsessed with podcasting, is super enthusiastic about the space, wanted to work in it in some way, wanted to create and help creators. And she didn't know what that looked like. And so she just started going. And what do you do when you just start going? Well, if you do it right, then you put yourself in a position to learn and grow and connect. And then you see where that takes you. And I want you to hear Lauren's story, because I think that it's just a really instructive one when we talk about how to turn a passion, a love, into a business and a career. I mean, it starts with just pure passion, but it has to be more than that, obviously. And so that's what we're going to do today. You are going to hear Lauren's story. Though I want to start actually by telling you about how I first connected with Lauren, because it wasn't through Tink, her company. It was through a newsletter that she writes called Podcast the Newsletter. It's largely a newsletter of podcast recommendations. She finds really fantastic shows, stuff that I had never heard of, and she recommends specific episodes. I had found the newsletter because she recommended very nicely my other podcast, Build for Tomorrow, a couple of times. If you're not listening to Build for Tomorrow, by the way, it is a show about the things from history that shape us and how we can shape the future. Build for Tomorrow. Anyway, I was really appreciative that she was including Build for Tomorrow in her newsletter. And so I reached out, and we've just exchanged a ton of emails since. But anyways, when we were talking here before we got into the interview about how she built Tink, I was curious if that newsletter was part of a strategic thing that she had done to build a community of podcasters, like get to know the community, attract people like me more to her and her work. And I just think it's really telling what her answer is. It sets up nicely everything that is to come about how Lauren has built her company. So I just want to play you her answer.
Well, first of all, I had a podcast called Podcast Podcast about podcasts. And it was okay. And I just, because I love them so much, that I can't contain it. And my best friend was getting kind of busy.
Clarifying point, she was doing that podcast with her best friend.
Yeah, and I was like, he couldn't really do it anymore. So I was like, I thought I'd start this newsletter. And I really thought that only my mom and my friends would read it. And I was fine with that. And the thing is, like, my mom and my friends don't really read it for the most part, but it's become kind of like an industry thing. So it's helped me with my business. And it's this whole driving thing of everything I've done is I had the opportunity to start following my passions, as corny as that sounds, because I was doing everything I loved and with my heart. It all kind of just ended up helping each other. The business helps the newsletter helps everything. And it all is just because it's stuff that I care about.
All right. So now you get a sense of how Lauren thinks and how her journey is going to be. It is really starting out with just what feels like the right thing to do to engage with this community that she loves and find ways to be purposeful in it. And then you see what happens from there. On this episode, it is how Lauren has followed her passion into a career transformation, and it is all coming up after the break. I admit it, I have always been a sucker for free food at the office. It was like the simplest, easiest way to make the team happy. Just buy everyone lunch. But of course, it has been a while since I've had too much pizza with my coworkers, which raises a question. As where we work continues to shift, can this kind of benefit shift with us? DoorDash for Work has an answer, and the answer is yes, with a new suite of benefits for companies and their employees. DoorDash for Work enables you to bring your team together safely, in person, or remotely with a benefit that can improve employee happiness and productivity. It is simple. With a Dash Pass for Work subscription, employees get free delivery and reduced fees on eligible orders from restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores, giving them time back in their day. Want to make sure your team is happy and that they are not hungry? Get DoorDash for Work and make work delicious. Go to work.doordash.com/problem solvers to learn more. Again, that is work.doordash.com/problem solvers. Terms and conditions apply. All right, we're back. So this is an episode talking with Lauren Pacell of Tink Media, and as you will learn soon, not just Tink Media, about how she has built a career in the podcast space that really just came out of a love of the space. And it begins when Lauren was working a couple of years ago at Little Brown, which is a major book publisher. And she was working with the PR teams and the social media teams. And on the side, Lauren was running that podcast that she talked about. Podcast. That was about podcasts. And so when the team at Little Brown started asking her to engage with other podcasters, well, because of podcast, she knew a lot of podcasts.
The PR team would come up to me and say, hey, can you get David Sedaris on some podcasts or whatever? And I would say, yes, please. You know, there was so much fun. So it was something they weren't really focused on. It's just such a whole new world getting people on podcasts. And it was something I could do because I love podcasts and I knew this space and I had contacts because of my podcast. My stupid podcast is really where this started.
And this gets Lauren thinking two things. One, she loves this work so much. Why is she working in book publishing if she could maybe work in podcasting full time, whatever that means, she didn't even know. And then number two, is there something about the experience that she's having right now that she could leverage actually to start building something in the podcasting space? Like, what is she seeing right now that might tell her about a need that she could go out and fulfill herself?
Am I allowed to say the word bitch on your podcast?
You're allowed to say whatever you want.
So I have this like basic bitch thing that's like, you should do for your job what you were doing through your passion anyway, right? And so like, I was already doing this, even though I wasn't getting paid for it. So I left, I was very sad to leave that job. I really love that job, but I wanted to learn more about podcasts. So I left and went to a podcast company and I was there for about a year. And then I started Tink. I called my mentor up who was in PR and I said, is this a stupid idea because no one's doing it? Or is it a smart idea because no one's doing it? And she was like, no, it's a smart idea.
And the idea was this, why doesn't she start a company in which she's doing the thing that she was doing at Little Brown, which is to say, help book authors, people who want to go out and promote their book, help them get on podcasts. That is a definite need. There is a marketplace need for it. In fact, she saw it firsthand. So that's what Tink begins as a company to help book authors get on podcasts. But because Lauren has engaged with the podcast community so much, and she's not making podcast the podcast anymore, but she is writing that newsletter, the one that I eventually found her because of, she's hearing from all these podcasters, and they don't all have books to publish, but
the podcasters I was talking to because of my newsletter and everything, they said, well, I want a podcast tour. I want to be on podcasts talking about my podcasts.
So this is great. She has now expanded her marketplace outward. She started with just book authors, and now she's got anybody who has a podcast who wants to talk about their podcast on other podcasts. By the way, if you have a podcast, why do you want to do that? The answer is because talking about your podcast on other podcasts is about the best way possible to try to drive new listeners to your podcast. So Lauren is now doing this, but there's a problem.
But even that was hard. You know, sometimes I would feel like I was letting clients down. I would lose sleep at night if I couldn't get them enough. And as a PR person, you can't force anything. There's only so much you can do.
So now Lauren has another problem to solve. I mean, here she is. She's gotten into this. She is now working in podcasting. She's working with podcasters. This is exactly what she set out to do. But of course, this particular version of this work is so stressful, and she's not always able to complete the job because PR is just hard. You can't guarantee anything. It's out of your control. So as she's thinking about this, and then one day, one of the people that she works with, one of her podcast clients, asked if she would also facilitate promo swaps. Now, you may not know what that is, but if you listen to podcasts, you've definitely heard of promo swap. Basically, it's two podcasts who are trading advertisements for each other. In fact, I will tell you, you have heard promo swaps on this podcast because I've swapped with other podcasts. And what was most interesting about this to Lauren wasn't just the idea of facilitating promo swaps, but also that the person who was asking for her to do this had a podcast on a very large network. There are a lot of large networks like Wondery and iHeartMedia in podcasting. And so these shows, one of the selling points for these shows that are on these podcasts is that they will be promo swapped within network. But Lauren discovers something.
I thought, why do they need my help doing this? They have access to every show. But what I realized, and I've realized now with a lot of the large networks, they don't really have someone targeting good show swaps. So they'll swap the show with other shows on the network, but it's not necessarily the right fit. So people aren't going there. So that was the first one where I was like, oh, I guess I can do this. And it's something I can offer. And then I got another client who wanted only that. And it was going so well and was so much fun. It was succeeding. And people, I was connecting with the podcast community. Everybody seemed, I fell in love with it. And I started to realize that this isn't something a lot of people are doing. So here's what would happen. On behalf of my client, I would email another podcast and say, hi, would you like to swap with me? 50% of the time, they say, yeah, cool, got it. We exchange downloads, easy, easy peasy. 50% of the time, they say, that sounds good. Can we Zoom about that? And I'm like, aha, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I would Zoom with them and explain to them what I was doing. And I can't tell you how surprising it is that people didn't often know it was something that they could do, a targeted campaign in this way to grow. So I would explain it to them for like an hour, telling them, and I get so excited. I'm like showing them dancing. Then at the end, they always say, can I hire you? And I'm like, no, I have too many clients.
And why does Lauren have too many clients? Well, one, because as basically a one-person operation, you can only scale yourself so much, which is a problem we will talk about in a minute. But also two, because of this.
Someone from book publishing actually emailed me and said, I have a friend who's doing something with podcasts. And I don't think she used the word pick my brain, but I was like, okay, here we go. Pick your brain call. And it was one of the best conversations I've ever had. And it was so exciting. And it was a job interview, I guess. I didn't know that. You know, I might have not been so shining if I had known it was a job interview. But basically, he was like, I would love you to work with us.
And that was a company called Hark.
Hark helps people discover new podcasts by getting the best moments from shows and kind of curating them into mixtapes almost.
And just so you can appreciate the timeline here, Lauren started Tink in June of 2019, and then Hark reached out in August of 2020. So in just about a year, she had gone from taking a leap and pursuing this passion of hers and starting a company just to explore it and see what could happen, to basically having two jobs, because she said yes to Hark. It just really excited her. She loved the idea and she wanted to be a part of it. But she didn't want to let go of Tink either. Why are you keeping Tink going?
I really love being able to help podcasters. It's really like, it excites me. It doesn't feel like work. I absolutely love talking to these people. And if I can help them, especially smaller shows, man, some small shows just have such a hard time getting noticed. And if I can help them do that, I really want to. And getting to be a little pickier with my clients means I get to work with people that I really, really care about and love working with. And honestly, that's it. I'm not trying to make a lot of, like, I'm not in this for the money. It's truly because it's what I want to do. But also, I feel like I built something that might matter and that not a lot of people have done. And I can't let that die. I would go to Hark full time and be really, really happy doing it. But I have this little little thing in the back of my head saying, you can't let Tink die. You have to see what she can do.
So what does she do? How does she do this? And also, what does this whole experience so far say about how to not just follow your passion, but maximize it, turn it into a real career? That is what we're going to talk about next. But first, here's a little break. If you're an e-commerce seller and you're doing 7 or 8 figures of revenue on your site and you are not doing conversion optimization, you are leaving tons of cash on the table. Running marketing experiments is key to optimizing conversions, but chances are you aren't doing enough. That's why you need Conversion Fanatics. They run thousands of marketing experiments every year for huge clients like Clorox, Burt's Bees, ClickFunnels, and many more. Conversion Fanatics optimizes your site for you so you can get a lot more customers, scale up your traffic faster, and see a lot more profit fall to your bottom line. After optimizing hundreds of sites, Conversion Fanatics has an extensive test vault of proven winners to draw from, and it's run, owned, and operated by guys who have built their own 7 to 8 figure brands for years before ever doing it for anyone else. They tackle the nitty gritty user research for you, plus everything from idea to UX design and development to execution. They can test anything. So what are you waiting for? Go to conversionfanatics.com today for a free proposal and tell them Problem Solvers sent you. They'll analyze your site, throw in conversion boosting ideas for free. That is conversionfanatics.com. All right, we're back. So Lauren has started Tink. It has gone well. And then she got this other job at Hark. And now she has two companies, one that she is running, one that she is working for in the podcast space. She got what she wanted. She got quite a lot of it. And now it's a question of how to balance everything, including her work and her time for listening to podcasts. So I asked her to start, how is she trying to scale herself at Tink?
This process of trying to like make it survive right now is trying to find the right people. And I'm actually testing some time with someone. We're in a brief period where we're going to try to see if she can help me a little bit because I can't do this all myself. The work is coming in so fast and I can't even respond to everyone. And I really, really need help.
That's what I was wondering, was if you can figure out how to scale yourself, because you're right. I mean, I know, and you know that I know, that the podcast world does not have a lot of great support. It's got a lot of people who say they can support, but this is such a relationship business. So how are you thinking about how to scale this and scale yourself and see what Tink can continue to become?
Well, I am looking for someone who is kind of like how I was, because I don't care if they're in PR. I don't care if they're in marketing. I need them to know people in the space and understand the space and love the space. So I'm looking for someone and figuring out that I can teach them the rest. That's what I really need. So this person that I, you know, and I am working with someone on a few projects too, is starting to give some of the work away. But this one person that I have that I'm kind of testing out, I love her so much. I mean, I don't know how to be a business person. And I was basically like, I need you and I don't care about me making a ton of money. I will give you the money that you make and you can help me figure this out, because I need help as soon as possible. I need help yesterday. And if I can get you on board, you can help me make this work. And I'm open to hear your thoughts and how you want to get paid and how you want to work with me. I care about the work right now. I don't care about anything else. I care about the work getting done.
This is interesting, because you're not strategic in building. You are really just focused on figuring out how to be most useful and engaged in a space that you love. And this has led to what it seems like in the last couple of years, a company that has evolved in many different ways already, and that you've been open to that evolution for. And then also another company that came along and hired you. And so you ended up with almost too much of what it was that you were looking for initially. Do you feel like you did it right?
I have to say yes, because I did everything that I with the best intentions and what I really loved. And so I have to say, yes, I do. There is too much work right now. I actually was seriously injured, work-related injury, typing.
Oh, no.
I couldn't use my arms for 2 months. I'm serious. It's a serious thing. I worked too much. I didn't learn how to sourdough in COVID. I work. So I do know that there needs to be changes, but I think I have to say I wouldn't change anything. And I just really quickly want to say that my hero is my mom, who never had really a full-time, she stopped working when I was born. So her last time job was probably at Foot Locker in 1983. And she's someone who her whole life, like she, when she was 40 years old, she learned how to speak Italian, and she's not Italian. And she now has one of the like biggest Italian movie, new Italian movie blogs called iloveitalianmovies.com. And it started her learning the language through movies, writing about them. And now we go to Venice every year, and she's this tiny blonde Midwestern woman running around on the red carpet taking selfies with the stars and all the directors. And they're all like, shittery, shittery. They all love her. She's done the exact same. That's where I saw this. She recently over COVID, like she was playing with her her old Barbies a lot. She started taking pictures and started this Instagram account called Barbie Snack. And she does that. And it's this huge account that's blown up because they're so funny. It's like, my mom was not necessarily like a businesswoman per se, but I think I learned, and then my dad is a business person. So I think I learned the combination like so much through them. That's like why I thought, that's why I had the confidence that I could do this. I think because of my mom and my dad.
And the framework, I love that story. The framework that if it's like people always say, do what you love, follow your passions, but what does that mean? And the answer, I suppose, you tell me, is you do it, but you do it constructively and you figure out not just how to receive it, not just how to have it flow through you, but how to give back to it. Because the more that you can not just immerse yourself in something that you love, but like solve the problems for the people who are also participating in the thing that you love, then you're not just hanging around. Then you have a purpose. And once you have a purpose, you can make a living off of it.
Yeah. And I think I love that. That's so well said. And I think what I did was I accidentally made myself an expert just because I'm a nerd. And I'm sure everybody had nerds out about something. So I was this nerd and actually in a space that there weren't a ton of nerds yet. I mean, there's a lot of us, but it's relatively speaking, fewer nerd podcast nerds. And then step two is listening. Like listening to what the needs are and thinking, oh, well, I guess I can do that because I know all this stuff. I think, and then having the confidence to go, I can do that. I mean, I think that's the one thing people are always like, I don't have a lot of confidence, I don't think, but people are always like, how did you have the confidence to know you could do that? And I don't know what was there. I have a lot of self-doubt. And for some reason, this is the one time in my life where I didn't for a second think, I don't know why I can't do that. I can do that.
Lauren, I just want to ask you one final thing, which is I love your newsletter. And every time I read it, I wonder, how is she listening to all of this stuff? Because it's hours of stuff and also sometimes very obscure stuff. I check out a lot of the podcasts that you recommend, and some of them are very popular, but some of them are like brand new. And I think, how did you even know that this existed? How much time are you listening to podcasts, and how are you doing the pure engagement part of it? Because I said a moment ago in my little hypothesis, right, which is that you don't just... Following a passion and turning it into a job is not a matter of just like engaging with. It's not just like, I love podcasts, so I'll just listen to a bunch of podcasts, because that's not going to get you anywhere. You have to also go and solve problems, all the stuff that we just said a second ago. But you still do have to continue to do the first part, which is just like be listening and engaging to a ton of stuff. So time consuming. How are you doing that?
It's funny because people ask me this all the time, and I don't know if I've ever really admitted it because it's not healthy. It is, I'm about to tell you, it's not healthy. A day in my life, I'm very early riser, and I listen to a few hours before my husband gets up. But I'm talking like, if I'm scanning, I have different listening modes, but I'm listening at 3.0 speed when I'm scanning. And I slow things down for things like Build for Tomorrow. I'm serious. The shows that I really want to enjoy and that I'm like treating myself to. And then those are the ones that I often end up writing about for podcasts, the newsletter. But for Hark, I'm scanning things. So I need to scan news and things in the zeitgeist. Then my husband wakes up and we love the Daily Zeitgeist. It's one of my favorite shows. And we listen to it together every day. And he makes me listen to it at 1.0 speed. And that is how much I love him. So we listen to it together. And then it's just any chance that I can get. I snag hours like while I'm cleaning the bathroom, I'm making my meal, I'm, you know, walking around. So I want to say it's probably like at least 5 hours a day. And most of that time is listening pretty fast.
Yeah. So it's 5 hours a day, but really like 15 hours worth of content.
Maybe. And I would say sometimes more. And it's funny because I'm lucky that my husband loves podcasts because we have a weekend playlist and we choose things to listen to together. And I do listen at 1.0 speed when I listen with him, but we also go on podcast walks together and we do a lot of like listening together. So that's, I'm not socially isolating myself from my family. I make sure that they come first, but I do make them also listen to podcasts.
Right. Well, that's very healthy because then that's not just some, it's not just following like your own passion. You've also followed a passion that fits into and evolves, is not the right word, amplifies, I don't know, makes better, whatever, I'm not a thesaurus, makes better other parts of your life, right? Which is like, I'm passionate. I used to love watching basketball and I basically stopped because I don't have the time anymore. But what I keep thinking is, you know, I have two young boys, possibly one of them will grow up and become interested in basketball. And that's when I'll really be able to plug back in because then it like fits into my life in this way. It's like a passion that also helps out some other part of my life. And it sounds like you have that with podcasting and your husband.
Yeah. And it'll be a totally new appreciation and interest in basketball. That'll be so much fun.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll get there. We're waiting.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren, this is fantastic. I'm so delighted to have talked to you. And I think it's just a great example you are of how to take that very cliche thing of follow your passion and then actually turn it into something constructive, which not everybody knows how to do. But I mean, without it, what do you have?
Yeah. Follow your passion is not bullshit. And I just have to say, I am so honored to be on this show. I love your work. Build for Tomorrow is one of my favorites. And I'm always so excited to tell people about it. So thank you for everything you're doing. It makes me very happy podcast listener.
Thanks, Lauren. If you like podcasts like Lauren and like I do, definitely go check out her newsletter. You can find it at podcastthenewsletter.substack.com. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.